You are listening to Mind Over Matters here on KEXP 90.3 FM Seattle. It is 7:30 and time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us this morning Jackie Hudson from the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action and Don Whitmore with the Third Millennium Foundation. And we're going to be discussing, amongst other things, national missile defense, Star Wars, and the U.S. takeover of space. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it's been a couple of months since George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld publicly announced that they were going ahead with national missile defense and scrapping the ABM treaty and turning over the domain of outer space to our U.S. Air Force. And I'm wondering if you can bring us up to speed on what the public reaction both here in the States and internationally has been.
There's been strong reaction both within this country and overseas, and that reaction has been mixed. Mr. Bush was talking with our NATO allies, and he's talked to with President Putin of Russia. And the reaction from overseas is great skepticism over a missile defense program that would in effect, abrogate the ABM treaty, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. In fact, Mr. Putin is claiming that if we go ahead on our own with the missile defense, that he's going to add warheads to his missiles, and they'll also set aside the arms agreements that we have already. So the reaction has been very strong at this point. And within the country, I'd say they're both opponents and critics of his plan.
Well, and I would add on, Don, that as recent as June 21st, there's a Air Force paper from out of Peterson Air Force Base saying that as Russia and the Bush administration squabble over proposals for a U.S. anti-missile defense system, planners at the Air Force Space Command are drawing plans for space-based equipment that would be far more advanced than what we are already talking about. And at the May 24th Air Force Association Conference in Colorado Springs, the General Ed Eberhardt, the commander of the Air Force Space Command and commander-in-chief of the U.S. Space Command, has stated that we must now think of space control. And our space control is the ability to protect and defend space assets and deny the use of space to an enemy. So we're talking about absolute control and domination of space, no matter what our politicians are talking about.
Yeah, that's great that you bring that up, because I think publicly, I know Donald Rumsfeld, when he was actually questioned about the connection between our national missile defense plans and the turning over the outer space to the Air Force, he had publicly stated there was no connection between the two. So it sounds like it is, as everyone suspected, exactly the opposite. There's a big connection between the two.
Exactly. And the plan to abrogate the Outer Space Treaty of 1967 is a definite. They're talking, as late as November 20th, 2000, there was a vote in the UN to support the it was entitled Prevention of an Arms Race in Outer Space, and that was voted on and supported by 163 nations, but only three abstained, and the United States, Israel, and Micronesia were those three.
Some of the things that are going on right now, the budget for next year, fiscal year 2002, is being considered. And in that budget now is about a 50% increase for missile defense, much of it for national missile defense. And part of that is for space-based lasers, and that ties into this domination of space posture. And another thing that's going on is a consideration of early deployment of missiles to Alaska, the idea that those would be what they are calling test sites. But Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld has said that if a threat seems imminent, that those test missiles could be brought up to operational status very quickly. And that may abrogate the ABM treaty sooner rather than later.
So they're definitely going ahead and spending a lot of money on all this stuff then.
That is correct. The missile defense budget for this year is about in the order of $5 billion, and it's going up to $8 billion, with much of that going into space lasers and like developments.
Now, did any of this have to go through Congress?
It will have to go through Congress, and so there's a question of what now with the Senate power having shifted, the agenda is now set by the Democrats in the Senate, and the Democrats may have a thing or two to say about that.
Well, and part of the strategy as far as getting public support of this is they are aiming and directing their information at the age of high school graduates and high schoolers, that they're trying to implant propaganda because we have become so computerized that it is essential that we control space and the satellites, because if we don't, we're going to lose control over all of communication, globalization of industry. It just has overriding implications. And so if we instill this fear in the students who have only known computers in their growing up stages, we don't want another Pearl Harbor in space, is their quote.
Yeah, I like to point out in the anti-satellite game, and that's what this is, and it's also called ASAT for anti-satellite, that it's a two-sided game, that we can attack an enemy's or opponent's satellite, but they too can attack our satellites. And I question whether, I guess there's a feeling of invulnerability that we'll always win all those battles, but I don't think that's assured. And we jeopardize our own posture in space by attacking others. And Jackie was mentioning to me before we went on the air that we're hoping that we can attack the satellites, someone else's satellites, without it being an act of war. I question how that could happen.
Well, what they're talking about is micropaint satellites. And it would be like a paintball-like substance to blind the enemy's satellite. So that it wouldn't actually destroy it, because the fear is if they destroy it, then there's debris floating in space that could affect our satellites.
I think that's an interesting idea, because if I were the opponent, I would simply clean up that mess on the lenses of my camera, or I'd put a different lens and let them think that I'm blind, but I wouldn't be.
Sounds like more like a plan for graffiti in space, you know, coming up and spray painting another.
Right, yes. Right.
So one of the reasons that the administration is pushing for all this, that they're trying to get public support via, is the concept that we're putting up this missile shield to protect us from rogue states. And it sounds like, with the connection to what we're actually doing in outer space right now, that rogue states aren't even playing into this. What's the truth of that?
I think there is a disconnect there. The rogue states, I'm not sure what the threat is out in space. That hasn't really been defined. The missile threat on the surface from rogue states has been talked about some, even though it's not well defined. But I'm not sure what this threat is, Jackie, in space that we need to defend against.
Well, right now, I don't believe that we have any direct enemy in space. I think we are trying to create enemies, and by creating enemies is how we have kept this whole war machine and funding of the Pentagon going for the last, I don't know how many years.
Well, let's talk about that. The administration presents it that the U.S. and its allies will be the beneficiaries of this incredibly expensive plan. But I think the reality is that it's going to be a handful of corporations.
Right, and the handful of corporations that are involved in the whole space program, it really boils down to four major corporations, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, TRW, and Boeing. And there's money to be made, and where there's money to be made, those hands are out. And I think this is evident in the nominations or not the people that are being appointed by the Bush administration to very high-level positions are former executives and board members of these same corporations.
And I think there is no doubt a profit motive, a factor in how policies are made. And President Eisenhower warned of the military-industrial complex, and that, and some think it's a triangle with Congress also in a part of that. But I think underlying and more fundamental to those motivations are valid concerns for security. I think we all want to achieve security for our nation in the most efficient, cost-effective manner. There's a difference of opinion on how to do that. And no matter how that debate comes out, the corporations will make a profit in any event. And so I don't think profit is just on one side of the issue. It could be on both sides.
Well, and the Pentagon really doesn't even hesitate on that. I mean, they really say that their purpose is to protect U.S. interests and investments. And as it's stated here, its goal is to enforce American preferences and provide military protection for the U.S. economic regime. So there is an intimate tie between our corporations and our Pentagon and, like Don says, also our Congress. How do people get elected to Congress in our day and age? They don't unless they have the support of major corporations.
My concern is that we're not going to be make the world safer with the missile defense program. We're going to make it less safe. And the primary threat is to the arms control, the whole system of agreements and treaties, which have been serving us very well for throughout the Cold War and continue to serve us well. The Non-Proliferation Treaty, one that we would hope that would be ratified by the Senate, is a comprehensive test ban treaty. And the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, the START, the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaties, all those have been serving us well in controlling the ultimate threat. But all of those are at risk now, and I'm concerned about the advice that Mr. Bush is getting. Or his response to the advice. He's getting advice from many quarters, and some of our staunchest allies are trying to advise us that we had better not jeopardize the arms control part of the equation for achieving greater security.
Yeah, it's my understanding it's been almost unanimous from our allies to not go forward with the current national missile defense concept that the current administration is pushing.
That is right, and that is reiterated at every opportunity, and we will hear it again this summer and this fall as there are additional international conferences.
So if opposition is so strong internationally, what is the problem here in the States with getting people motivated on this? Any theories?
Well, I think as far as getting people motivated, we're dealing with the apathetic American society who is very content with life here in the United States. And it's sort of an arrogance, I believe, on our part, on our people in general, and also a definite arrogance on the part of our government, where we feel now as being the only superpower, we can decide and do whatever. And no one can really stand in our way. And to me, that is that's sort of the arrogance before a fall.
Well, I'm a little concerned, too, that the public has just turned over all of these issues and responsibilities to the federal government, expecting the federal government is going to take care of us, and then they kind of tune out the rest of it. So I'm not sure too many in the general public are following this or listening to the statements that are being made by our allies on the issues such as missile defense.
Well, and I think, too, as you say, they're not following it. And I think very much people have no concept of what is going on, because this is all going on in a sense in secret in Colorado Springs, for instance, at the Space Command Center. Very few people are aware that that even exists, rather, let alone what it is about and what it is planning, and the wars, the Star Wars playing of games in their computer centers at Schriever Air Force Base. If people knew and understood what was happening, I think they would be up in arms. But it's very difficult to get that message out. That's why I'm grateful to you, Mike, that you have invited us to speak on this issue this morning.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, this is a valuable opportunity. And one of the things that's lacking in the public dialogue is real debate on these issues. And, for example, Senator Joe Biden, who's the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, during the campaign 2000, attempted on several occasions to have a public debate on the missile defense issue. And several times those debates were set up, but in each case those proponents, the advocates of missile defense, declined to debate the issue. I wonder why.
Well, how do we get this into the forum of public debate? I think a lot of people, like you say, are fairly removed, or think they're fairly removed from this whole concept, and yet they don't realize perhaps that, I mean, we're sitting on a hotbed of a lot of these systems that are being produced. We've got, obviously, Boeing right here in town. We've got, over in your neck of the woods, which is really our neck of the woods, the Bangor Trident nuclear submarine base, as well as numerous military bases right in this region. I mean, if anything's bad comes of this, we're really on the receiving end.
People don't think of it in that respect, however. It's we don't see ourselves as an imminent target in case something would break out because of our location. An example of that was in Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming, where they are just now planning to dismantle their ICBM missile silos, and they're really upset about this. Not just that the jobs will go away, which is a minimum number of jobs, but it's been their identity, and they've been proud of the fact that they have had these missiles. And again, they don't think of themselves being a target because of the proximity of these items. And definitely the people in Kitsap County do not think of this as a liability. They see it only as a jobs opportunity, and it is proposed as a job program.
Not very far north of Bangor is Port Angeles, and that's where we intercepted a terrorist coming into this country. just before the Millennium celebrations, and he was, we were concerned, headed for the Seattle Center and was going to bomb maybe the Space Needle. As it turned out, he was headed for Los Angeles Airport, and so the Los Angeles Airport was a target. Thankful to a mosquito that had infected this man with malaria, that the man was perspiring heavily at the time that he was being interviewed by authorities, and the malaria caused him to perspire, and they thought, well, maybe he had something else is going on, and it turned out that he was a terrorist entering the country. Well, this is a real threat to us, and I don't think people understand the connection between non-proliferation treaties and the threats of terrorists coming into the country. And the other arrangements that we have with Russia to try to secure their nuclear assets so they don't fall into the hands of terrorists. I'm concerned that all of our arms control structure is going to unravel with the development of missile defenses. And with that, we are increasing the risk that terrorists are going to get their hands on nuclear weapons. And they may select targets here in the Puget Sound area, or it could be the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake next year. We don't know where the attacks might come from. President Bush has recently established a new Office of National Preparedness and is to develop the capability to respond to nuclear attacks or chemical or biological weapons attacks, and he expects to have a report ready for Congress by October 1st. I'm guessing most people aren't aware of that, aware that the president is that concerned about weapons of mass destruction being detonated on our soil. But he is, in fact, very concerned, and we should be too, and we should be looking at ways that we can minimize those risks.
Well, one of the ways, as far as trying to stir the apathy of our American populace, are activists who take their risks and go out and make this a public action in hopes of arousing people. In fact, there were five of us who entered the Air Force Base at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs to bring out the point that the Space Command was in existence and the MilStar communication satellite was present at that Air Force Base at an air show. And we hammered and poured our blood on that item. And we were jailed for 7 days and released with no charges. The government does not want this out. We do regular actions at the Bangor Trident submarine base. The prosecutor in the county has refused to prosecute because he sees that we have been acquitted because we are doing something of value for the people of this nation. And it's been very encouraging to us from that standpoint. However, the federal government sees us in light of terrorism because we are a threat to national security. Because if our people really knew what is happening in this government and in this nation as far as its plans for militarizing space, that is a threat to what our government considers national security.
One of the perennial questions is, well, what can the ordinary citizen do? And at this point, I'd like to put in a plug for an event being planned by the Northwest Disarmament Coalition that Jackie and I belong to. They have an event scheduled for October 19th at the Seattle Art Museum. In the evening, there'll be a showing of the movie 13 Days, which is a portrayal of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the producer of that movie will be on hand. And then the next day there will be a full day event at St. Mark's Cathedral. So mark your calendars, October 19th and 20th, Seattle Art Museum on the 19th and St. Mark's on the 20th of October.
And another item is October 13th is an international day of protest against militarizing space. And there will be activities all over the country. There will be an action at Bangor Submarine Base. There's an action being planned in Olympia. And I believe something also in Tacoma. So another date to keep in mind.
There's another date coming up, which is actually a week from today, the 14th, when one of the components of the National Missile Defense System is going to be tested again. I believe they're going to do another test firing. Do you think, regardless of how that comes out, that that's really going to affect the whole movement forward on this big plan they've got for us?
I think the plan is in place because other tests have failed as well. I think the money is in the works, and it's going to continue. And there's still hopes in their minds that someday that they're going to find something that will work.
Well, it's become a matter of debate now whether you need to make the system work or prove that it'll work before you deploy it. And Donald Rumsfeld has taken the position that you do not have to show that it works before you deploy it. He says all you need to do is introduce some uncertainty, uncertainty in the minds of a would-be attacker that he's not sure whether he would be able to penetrate the shield or not, and that would cause him to not build up a missile arsenal or to try to attack us. Others are not so sure about that and think that you need to be able to demonstrate capability in order to deter someone. So I would say that's a matter of debate, and it looks like the direction is toward deploying a system right now, earlier than anticipated. It was anticipated that they would try to deploy it by the year 2005 to have an initial capability in Alaska. They seem to be moving that up to 2004. In fact, maybe shipping parts next month for these test sites, so-called test sites for interceptors. Actually, it's the beginning of an operational capability for a rudimentary national missile defense system.
Well, that's another use of the word deterrence. You know, we've been with the Tridents, that's been in place because of a deterrent. If we say that we have something that we can do to retaliate or to use as a first strike weapon against you, then that supposedly is going to deter you from acting on us. And that again, has been pushed forward as far as the Trident. The upgrade on the Tridents was not supposed to take place this early, but that has all been pushed forward. And so there's something going on that they're trying to get all of this in place for much more in advance of what they had initially planned.
Actually, and Jack, you bring up a good point there, because I was quite shocked to find out that I was led to believe since I was a child that we were always going to use our nuclear weapons in retaliation, when in fact now there's plenty of evidence out that the U.S. since day one has planned for first strike all along, and totally, at least with the Soviet Union, just totally devastating that country with the first strike nuclear option. So,
exactly, and I think that's the whole point of this space warfare plan, is to be the first and to be able to knock out any capability of any other nation in space. And to in their documents, they say to deny accessibility to space of other nations.
Missile defense is part of that first strike equation. If you can attack someone else and then knock down their missiles that are coming in, then that improves your so-called first strike capability. I think it's a fantasy.
Jackie, you've been quoting a document there. I'm wondering if you can tell people where they can, what that is, and where they can find it.
Yes, the document that I refer to is the United States Space Command Vision for 2020, and it is available from Director of Plans at Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado, or call area code 719-554-3498. Or you can download it from their homepage. It's on the web at www.spacecom.af.mil.
Do you guys have a connection from your website as well to that?
Yes. Our website is www.gzcenter.org.
You can find links to that site and many other sites at abolishnukes.com.
Which is your
it's
website.
It's a project of the Third Millennium Foundation, yes. Right. Abolishnukes.com.
All right. And Jackie's organization is the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action. We just have a couple minutes left, so I want to give you a chance to put some last words in about this growing horror that the U.S. is putting above us.
Well, just let me read this. It's operating from space has been a dream for planners. From a budget standpoint, and this is a quote, space is cheap place to operate. There's no rent and no living costs. This is Lieutenant Colonel Donald McGee. And also, it says, there are no plans to put troops in space, though. If we ever need boots on the moon, we will call the Army.
Well, that's very touching.
Yes.
Well, as the last word, I would say, stay tuned. There's a lot going on, and every day in the newspaper, there's another story that on the things we've been discussing here today. So there's information available there. It's readily available, and people will stay tuned. One of the things that's happening this year is a nuclear posture review that is being done by the Pentagon, and that's going to set the stage for our nuclear policy for probably the next 5 to 10 years.
Very crucial things going on right today.
So stay tuned and get involved. That's really important. Talking this morning with Jackie Hudson from the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action and Don Whitmore with the Third Millennium Foundation. And one last time, could you both give your contact info? Don, why don't you start?
It's abolishnukes.com, and it's abolishnukes.com.
Very good. Jackie?
And Ground Zero is www.gzcenter.org.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning.
And thank you,
Mike.
Thank
you.